Praise be Jesus and Mary. In this gospel that we have today, we find ourselves, I think, in a very beautiful way. It doesn't happen every year, but we know that we've really just begun Pentecost, or the preparation for Pentecost, the novena of the Holy Spirit, which would have begun yesterday. If you haven't already started, I'd say we'll catch up. The beauty of, I would say, that this happening in the midst of Pentecost, or in the preparation for Pentecost, this cooperation, this docility of Our Lady to the Holy Spirit. In this particular instance, Our Lady's not asked actually in any way to go and visit Elizabeth. She's simply informed that her cousin, who's elderly, has had a very special birth. We know that Elizabeth was sterile. Mary, being moved by charity, would immediately go out. We hear she goes out in haste. As much as we like to think, and promote, and I often do promote Thanksgiving after Mass, in this particular instance, we know that the first thing Our Lady does after receiving Our Lord is to go out in haste to help her neighbor, to minister to Christ in another. You might even say, in a real sense, to bring Christ to another. And this is really, when we look at the example of our Blessed Mother, this is what we want to strive for. Looking at this working between two components, we've got the Holy Spirit. We've got Our Lady, and we got the Holy Spirit. And when we see Our Lady and the Holy Spirit together, what happens? Jesus is made present. Both with Our Lady, beginning with Our Lady, and we know that the Holy Spirit would come upon her and she would beget, or Christ become present in her womb, be conceived in her womb. And then from there she goes to St. Elizabeth, and another beautiful testimony, and for us, a beautiful witness for us, we don't have to walk around, preaching the gospel for God to work. Our Lady just greets Elizabeth. That's all it said. Our Lady greeted Elizabeth, and the Holy Spirit came upon Elizabeth. Well, actually, the way it technically goes, according to commentaries, the Holy Spirit comes upon John, fills John, and then fills his mother. And both are sanctified. Both become saints. This is one of the reasons why we celebrate the birth of St. John the Baptist, because he's born a saint. There's only three birthdays that we celebrate, and I've already told you that, St. John, so you should be able to guess the other two is pretty easy after St. John. St. John's the tricky one. That's the one most people go, well, I know Jesus and Mary, but what's that other one? And it's the only birthday that we celebrate in the church is St. John the Baptist, because he was sanctified on this occasion with the greeting of the Blessed Virgin. Christ sanctified his precursor. And St. John rejoices. He leaps in the womb of his mother. And as it were, the commentators will tell us that, there's this dialogue, there's this hidden dialogue between the two children hidden in the wombs of their mother, each acknowledging, really, by the Holy Spirit, acknowledging the other. And the mothers are really the mouthpieces of the two children. They are the ones who vocalize, as it were, the joy of the children that they carry. And to talk just a little bit, too, about this with Our Lady as she begins her Magnificat. I was thinking this morning, my soul magnifies the Lord. Particularly because and this is what I was thinking, between magnify and proclaims, fussing and complaining and all. At any rate, this is part of our piety. At any rate, but the whole looking at, say, magnify. Why do we like magnify? Because it's one of the things that we find that happens is we're told by the saints, as we focus on Our Lady, if we pray to Our Lady, acknowledge Our Lady, thank Our Lady, any way we praise Our Lady, she always refers it to God. She redirects in the Magnificat. It's a perfect proof of this. You know, Elizabeth, you know, gives her praise to the Blessed Virgin. Most blessed are you among women. And she even gives us the beginning words, really, as it were, or part of the words, the beginning words of the Hail Mary. And blessed is the fruit of your womb. Well, she didn't name our Lord yet because her Lord's name hadn't been revealed to Elizabeth, but she knew that Our Lady was carrying her Lord. And in response to this, Our Lady instantly begins by, my soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My soul magnifies the Lord. She redirects that attention that is aimed at herself. She redirects it to God. And this is what we need to do with our own talents, or, you know, whatever, we do something well and people, oh, well, that's a great job you did. To thank God for even the natural gifts that we're given, the natural talents. Every gift that we receive is given to us from the Lord for the upbuilding of the church. One of the reasons maybe we don't get spiritual gifts is because we don't use the natural ones already. We think they're ours. It's one of the things you might, you know, just a logical point of view from God is, look, I give them all these other, the natural gifts. They think they belong properly to them. They don't refer it to me. Why should I give them spiritual gifts? They think they do everything themselves. They think everything is their own. Spoiled, rotten children. Sounds just like little children, doesn't it? Everything, mine, mine, mine. And yet we need to give and acknowledge who the real gift, to return the gift, that is to use it for the Lord and His glory, is the proper use of our gift, to use it for His glory. Even, I don't care if you're getting paid to do your work. We're told in the Gospels, work for the Lord. You know, so even if we're getting paid for what we're doing, doesn't mean that God's out of the picture. God's in the picture because of what's called justice. You know, you've agreed to a certain pay, to do a certain job, and you do that job, as long as it's not sinful. If it's sinful, well, you give the money back. And sorry, can't do that. So this witness of Our Lady, as we contemplate between these two things, to magnify, that is, instead of focusing on myself, like a magnifying glass, you might say, I refocus it and make larger, reorient that attention to God. And really, you can say, I was thinking about it, what are we called to do as disciples of the Lord? To go out and proclaim the Lord. In a certain sense, proclaim really, I have to say, once as I was thinking about it this morning, I said, well, all right, I have to concede, really, proclaims really is kind of a better word, because that's what we're supposed to do as disciples of the Lord, to go out and proclaim the Lord's glory. So you might say there's very complementary terms between magnificat, or to magnify, and, you know, say, versus proclaims, to go out and preach the gospel, or witness, if you will, to Christ, even with our greetings, you know, our best wishes, that when we greet people, when we wish them farewell, that it's always in the Lord. So that we become, as it were, instruments in God's hands to bring Christ wherever we go and whatever we do. Christ is a part of it. Also, the humility, I think, I don't know if anyone's had this experience, but I can tell you I have, to acknowledge when Our Lady has come into our lives and perhaps touched it in a special way, maybe a particular prayer, you know, that something that was hidden in our heart, something that we had wanted or desired, and we know that Our Lady in a special way intervened. And to have that profound humility of Our Lady, you know, how is it that the mother of my Lord has come to me? Why should she listen to, I mean, she's the mother of God. Who am I? We're her children. And if we're really her children, we know that she does, it's a testimony, if you will, that we are her children. She does care. She is there. And she is interested in our needs, in our wants, in our salvation above all. And this is one of the things, like any good mother, you know, sometimes, well, mom and dad do sometimes tell their children no. The children make their request, and not every request is sure. Dad, mom, no. Well, why do they say no? Because they care. They care about our good. They want to teach us to be good and to desire what is right. Now, sometimes as children, we don't fully realize that, but as we get older and we become parents and we have our own children, all of a sudden it all starts coming together and we start realizing, well, you know, mom and dad just aren't big meanies and bullies, but they're people that really do care and love us. And they didn't want us to really harm ourselves. To give a correction when a correction is needed, and of course in accordance with, you know, the ignorance or the knowledge of the child. Usually once the child starts manifesting a certain stubbornness, you know, the parent becomes unquestionably, and there's unquestionable knowledge that the child knows that this is wrong and is choosing to do so. Usually this means that the punishment or discipline might just be a little more severe, as opposed to when the child is truly ignorant. You know, well, yeah, they're doing something wrong, maybe even very serious. But, I mean, if you know the child doesn't know, you don't come down on them, you know, hard before God, you know the child doesn't know. I mean, they might know in some small way they're doing some little thing wrong, but they may not realize the real serious gravity of it. I keep thinking of one, one of the friars told me, as a young boy, he didn't remember it. His parents told him as he got older. Apparently, he got mad at his parents, and he took his key, got a hold of the key, and went out and scratched the brand new car. Dad, week old, brand new car, took a key. I think his dad won. He didn't remember anything about what happened. I don't know if that was because of the beating or whatever, but I think mom saved him. I don't know. But anyway, he was told years later about what he did as a young boy, but he didn't know. In fact, he didn't even remember doing it. That's one of how many stories we have from our youth. Our parents tell us the little stories of our youth, of things that we did. Well, we didn't know. We had to be taught. But sometimes the thing is, for the parents, is sometimes quite painful, the experience. To turn to Our Lady in thanksgiving and gratitude, above all, learning from this lesson of today of her great care for us as she would visit Elizabeth, asking her to come into our lives and to present us to the Holy Spirit, to be docile as she was to the Holy Spirit, so that as she is striving to give birth to Christ in our souls, we too, working with the Holy Spirit, with the Heavenly Father, might also beget Christ in others by our words, maybe our simple greeting, our example. And I have nothing wrong with, say, you know, preaching the Word of God, you know, as we're doing here in this homily, but I don't think God wants us always walking around preaching with words, because the most important part of preaching is actually the example of our lives. That's where it's got to begin. And if that testimony is there, then when we do share the word of Christ with others, it will mean more because they'll see that we're living it. Even if these same people do sometimes see that we fail, yeah, we're not the Immaculate Conception, we're not our Blessed Mother. But as we strive to be so, the grace of God will make use of us and will become an instrument in the hands of God to communicate his graces to others. All God's asking us is to begin trying with sincerity, really trying, and that we know whether that's true or not, putting in our efforts, not giving up the fight, but being that witness to Christ in all that we say and in all that we do. May we bring Christ to others, being docile instruments to the Holy Spirit as the Blessed Mother was, even to the temporal works of mercy, which is more or less what this is here, this witness that we see. It begins simply with a temporal work of mercy. Our Lady goes out, you know, to minister to a neighbor, a fellow Jewess who is in need. And Christ is brought to another, really two souls. Let us strive to be like Our Lady in our own lives, bringing Christ by whatever means He allows us to others with the help of Our Lady. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.